The past 12 months were filled with drama, inspiration, outrage, and quite a few eye-openers. From the Ebola epidemic to the Scottish referendum, Radio Sputnik picked 10 major political and social trends that will make 2014 go down in history. Get the latest in Sputnik's new special project, 2014, The Bottom Line.
If we were to pick one country that made literally all the headlines in the outgoing year, it would be Ukraine. The most dangerous conflict to hit Europe since the war in former Yugoslavia, the so-called Ukrainian crisis actually broke out in late 2013. But in 2014, the events took such an unexpected and dramatic turn that it is worth looking back at how it all started. The bone of contention that triggered mass protests in Kiev, also known as Euromaidan, was the postponement of the signing of an association agreement with the EU. The deal implied closer trade ties with Europe, as opposed to joining the customs union with Russia, another option under discussion at the time. In early December, some 800,000 protesters occupied Kyiv City Hall and Independence Square. On February 22nd, the raging crowds stormed administration buildings and a de facto coup d'etat took place. The parliament voted to oust the president and set the early elections to be held in May. From that point on, the country became divided into those who supported the coup and people who refused to recognize the West-backed interim government that came to power following the unrest, says Robert Olds, director of the Bruges Group, an independent all-party think tank.
Ukraine was a unitary state until, of course, the West supported the overthrow of President Yanukovych. He was someone who wanted to have a balanced position between the EU and Russia. He wanted to have a trade agreement with both entities. That was not accepted by the EU, by NATO, and the West. He was then removed from power. And, of course, Ukraine is a divided society. Some people did not want to be in the association agreement with the EU. They wanted to look towards Russia. They wanted to have a balanced relationship. That was not tolerated. So, it was inevitable that this crisis would have come about if the regime change is enacted.
One of the first steps taken by Kyiv's new authorities was banning Russian as the second official language, which sparked mass protests in Russian-speaking regions in the southeast of Ukraine. In mid-March, the Autonomous Republic of Crimea held a referendum where the overwhelming majority of the population voted for secession from Ukraine and reunification with Russia. In April, another two major regions, Donetsk and Lugansk, called for a referendum on independence. In response, Ukraine's then-acting president Alexander Turchinov announced the start of the so-called anti-terrorist operation against the self-defense forces of the rebellious regions. Months of violent clashes with daily shelling and hundreds of civilian deaths followed. On May 11th, amid the ongoing military actions, the independent referendums were held and creations of People's Republics of Donetsk and Lugansk was proclaimed. 2 weeks later, Petro Poroshenko was elected Ukraine's new president. Already in June, he signed the first part of the association agreement with the EU. Yet he wasn't so quick in stopping the bloodshed in the country. Only in September, representatives of Kyiv and self-defense forces met in the Belarus capital of Minsk and signed a ceasefire agreement mediated by the OSCE and Russia. Despite the truce, the war continued. In October, the Human Rights Watch unveiled evidence that Ukraine attacked populated areas of Donetsk with cluster bombs banned by many countries. The humanitarian situation in the southeast of Ukraine rapidly deteriorated. Over 800,000 refugees fled to Russia since the conflict had started. The infrastructure in the Donetsk and Lugansk regions was heavily damaged by the bombardments of the Ukrainian forces. Kirill Koktesh, a political analyst at MGIMO University, explains why Kyiv didn't follow the Minsk agreements.
When you are not able to get victory through military terms and by usual military tools, so humanitarian catastrophe could be one and additional two that putting the people in the nightmare when they're lacking food, lacking electricity, lacking water, and just the nightmare that just giving up could be considered like a way out of this nightmare. So this could be one of the strategy and argument how to proceed southeast to live alone with Kyiv on conditions of Kyiv.
However, under increasing international pressure in early December, Poroshenko announced a silence regime. By that time, the number of civilian deaths in the war-torn territories reached 4,700 people, according to the United Nations. So far, the ceasefire was maintained by both sides. Graham Phillips, a British journalist based in Donetsk, says after months of fear and despair, the local population finally has hope for real peace.
It is one thing to have Euromaidan, a violent revolution which broke up a country. But what happened here began as a protest. It began as a storm. There were takeovers of buildings. And it was determined. But the aims and the aspirations were peaceful. And that's really what the people want here. Simply peace. People want to live their lives. People want to restore, to rebuild. People want to have some sense of looking into the future with hope.
In just 1 year, Ukraine went through a regime change, civil war, political and economic crisis. What started as a regional conflict soon evolved into one of the biggest challenges for European security of the 21st century.